everybody, and welcome to my podcast. This is Real Talk Kim. I am so excited that you are here with me today. You can visit my website, realtalkkim.com, and be a part of my world. There's hundreds of ways that you can stay connected to me. One is to subscribe to my newsletter. Another is to download my free app, which is Real Talk Kim Go. You can also partner with me, or you can buy three of my greatest books, Beautifully Broken, Beautifully Whole, and All Things. All of these are resources to help you move forward. But today, let's get into this. Today, we're talking about 10 steps to move on peacefully. How to let go of past relationships. That is our topic on today. And we're going to go from Philippians 12 through 14. I believe by the time we finish this podcast, you are going to feel like 10 pounds lighter, maybe a whole person lighter, because you would be shocked how just us holding ourselves hostage of things, it really can keep us delayed. And so I believe that after this today, you're going to be free to move forward. So today, Philippians 3, 12 through 14, it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection, but I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it, but I focus on this one thing. This is the highlight of the scripture. Forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead, I press on to reach the end of the race and receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Christ Jesus, is calling us. The amount of happiness that you have depends on the amount of freedom you have in your heart. You know, 12 years ago, my heart was in a million little pieces that formed the basis for a million regrets. I found myself walking through divorce after 17 years. I really did think my life was over. I really did believe the lies of the enemy that told me that I was a failure and that I was the only one in my family that couldn't keep a marriage. And I was raised in a ministry and a religion that said, if you get divorced, you're going to hell on a slip and slide. And man, I was the queen of beating myself up every day, living in the should've, could've, would've. And, you know, I finally had to realize that if it should've, could've, and would've, it would have. And that God, and man, when God's mercy meets our mess, He changes everything. And I realized in that season that instead of pointing fingers that I was going to, you know, let God do surgery on me and heal me. And for the first time in my life at 36 years old, I decided to not abort the mission of healing. And I decided to get better and not bitter. And I decided to allow my mess to be my message. And I allowed God to turn my scars into stars. And man, I'm gonna tell you something. It changed everything. Everything. It transformed my life when I realized these 10 steps really helped me decide to move on peacefully. Number one, you gotta practice releasing regrets. When a relationship ends, it's tempting to dwell on what you did wrong or what you could have done differently. This might seem productive, like you can somehow change things by rehashing it, but you can't. All dwelling does is cause you to suffer. When you start revisiting the past in your head, pull yourself into the moment. Focus on the good things in your current situation. The friends who are there for you and the lessons you've learned that will help you with future relationships. It might help to tell your friends to only let you vent for 10 minutes at a time. That way, you are free to express your feelings but not drown in them. Number two, you have to work on forgiving yourself. You might think you made the biggest mistake of your life, and if only you didn't do it, you wouldn't be in pain right now. Don't go down that road. There's nothing good down there. Instead, keep reminding yourself that you are a human. You are entitled to make mistakes. Everyone does. And you will learn from them and use those lessons to improve your life. Also, keep in mind, if you want to feel love again in the future, the first step is to prepare yourself to give and receive it. You can only do that if you feel love toward yourself. That's right. That means forgiving yourself. Number three, don't think about any time as lost. I know this is a hard one to do because when you find yourself at 36 years old with two kids, one 9 and one 12, that need their family, they need a mom and a dad, and you've spent 17 years fighting, and really the whole 17 years was fighting to make it. You know, if you've been clinging to the past for a while and now feel you've missed out, shift the focus to everything you've gained. Maybe you've built great relationships or friendships or made great progress in your career. When you focus on the positive, it's easier to move on because you'll feel empowered and not victimized by your ex, by yourself, or by time. Whatever happened in the past, it prepared you for now. And now is full of opportunities for growth, peace, and happiness. I'm going to tell you, I was clinging on to that. Oh my gosh, I've lost all this time for so long. And then I started shifting my perspective and realizing that in that time, I was pregnant twice. I had two incredible sons that God trusts me with. And I just started looking at things, the good things that came out of that relationship. And then I started focusing on the good things that were going to come out of that relationship that failed because I was going to find me in the process and I was going to become the best me that I could be. Number four, remember the bad as well as the good. Brain scientists suggest nearly 20% of us suffer from, you ready for this? Complicated grief. A persistent sense of longing for someone we lost with romanticized memories of the relationship. Scientists also suggest this is a biological occurrence, that the longing can have an addictive quality to it, actually rooted in our brain chemistry. As a result, we tend to remember everything with reverie as it was all sunshine and roses. If your ex broke up with you, it may be even more tempting to imagine she or he was perfect and you weren't. In all reality, you both have strengths and weaknesses and you both made mistakes. I often say it takes two to tango. Number five, reconnect with who you are outside a relationship. Unless you hop from relationship to relationship, odds are you lived a fulfilling single life before you got into this one. You were strong, satisfied, and happy, at least on the whole. Remember that person now. Reconnect with any people or interests that may have received less attention while you were attached. The strong, happy, passionate person you were attracted your ex. That person will get you through this loss and attract someone equally amazing in the future when the time is right. Not a sad, depressed, guilt-ridden person clutching to what once was. If you can't remember who you are, get to know yourself now. What do you love about life? You know, when I lost myself, and I literally did lose myself in those 17 years, and I remember at that time of my divorce, MySpace was popular, and it was at a time when that little quiz was going around, and you would learn 25 things about your friends. People were telling you about themselves, and it was they like bananas with peanut butter, you know. sandwiches and they like brownies with walnuts. And, you know, you just found out 25 things about people. And I had lost everything in my divorce. I lost my friends. I lost a life. And so I was just laying up in bed, you know, being a victim of my own story, allowing a season to define my whole lifetime. I saw this quiz on MySpace and I was like, oh, I guess I'll just do this quiz since everybody else is doing it. And I got to number one and it said, what's your favorite color? I was like, I didn't even know my favorite color. What is your favorite food? I didn't even know what my favorite food was because I had lost myself trying to get someone else to love me appropriately. And I just lost myself in the whole process. And I remember closing my computer that night and crying. And I said, God, I need to know what's good about me because I don't feel there's anything good about me anymore. I don't even love me anymore. I don't even feel worthy of your love. I don't feel worthy of your acceptance. I don't even feel worthy to be my son's mom. I just feel like such a reject, such a has-been, such a failure. And man, I was crying. And I literally cried myself to sleep that night. And I said, God, give me 25 things good about myself. Heal me, God. And I remember the next week was Mother's Day, and my son Lincoln Presley gave me a poem. And he had to be probably 9 years old then, maybe. And he gave me a poem, and it was 35 things that I love about you. See, and I'm teaching y'all on all of these podcasts how to renew your mind, how to pray over yourself, you know, how to break soul ties. I'm teaching you these things because I walk through them. So what I'm teaching you is things that I actually walk through. So actually, this girl right here has a limp. That's a good thing. You following people that ain't got no limp, they can't teach you nothing. So I, you know, that day when he gave me that poem, I just thought, God, you are such an awesome God because you didn't just hear my prayer and give me 25 things about myself, but you gave me 35 things that I should love about myself. And you used the one kid, you know, he always uses your children to make you feel like the biggest failure because you couldn't keep your marriage together or whatever it is. And he used the kids, you know, to write me that poem. The ones I felt I let down the most, he used two things as miracles that day. He used the ones I thought I let down the most to bring me healing in my life. And he gave me 35 things instead of 25 things. And I'll never forget it as long as I live. There was 35 things, but I'll never ever forget number six. It said, I love you, Mom, because you conquered hell in high heels. What? What? And there was 34 more things like that. And that just showed me that day that where I felt pitiful and not powerful, that this boy looked at his mama and saw me as, you know, high heels, you know, resembles femininity and grace. And I just felt like they saw me as not this broken, bitter woman that I saw myself as. And so, you know, you can be healed. You can be healed. And so you have to reconnect with who you were. And you got to ask God to let you know how to love yourself the way that he loves you. And he will give it to you. He will, just like he did me. And that day, God started a ministry called Conquering Hell in High Heels through me. And now I've been loving people all over the world back to life because of 35 things that I learned in one moment about myself. I learned to love me. Number six, create separation. Create separation. Hope can be a terrible thing if it keeps you stuck in the past. It's not easy to end all contact when you feel attached to someone. Breaking off the friendship might feel like ruining your chances at knowing love again. It's helped me to change my hopes to broader terms. So instead of wanting a specific person to re-enter your life, want love and happiness, whatever that may look like. You will know love again. You won't spend the rest of your life alone in one way or another. You will meet all kinds of people and create all kinds of possibilities for relationships if you forgive yourself, let go, and open yourself up. That is. Number seven, let yourself feel. Let yourself feel. Losing a friendship can feel like a mini death. Losing a relationship can feel like a mini death. complete with a grieving process. First, you are shocked and in denial. You don't believe it's over and you hold out hope. Next, you feel hurt and guilty. You should have done things differently. If you did, you wouldn't be in this pain. Then you feel angry and maybe even start bargaining. It would be different if you gave it a second go. You wouldn't be so insecure, defensive, or demanding. Then you might feel depressed and lonely as it hits you how much you've lost. Eventually, you start accepting what happened and shift your focus from the past to the future. You have to go through the feelings as they come, but you can help yourself get through them faster. For example, if you are dwelling in guilt, make forgiving yourself a daily practice. Every day, learn to forgive yourself. I forgive myself. I forgive myself for doing things I didn't know the outcome was going to be. I forgive myself because I didn't know how this person really was when I fell in love with him. I forgive myself for being a nag. I forgive myself for running my mouth so much in that relationship that I drove that ex to drink. I forgive myself that I've been in bed in depression and not been the greatest mom on the planet. I forgive myself. See what I'm saying? Every day, forgive yourself. Number 8. Remember the benefits of moving on. When you let go, you give yourself peace. Everything about holding on is torturous. You regret, you feel ashamed and guilty. You rehash, you obsess. It's all an exercise in suffering. The only way to feel peace is to quiet the thoughts that threaten it. Letting go opens you up to new possibilities. When you are holding on to something, you are less open to giving and receiving anything else. If you've had your arms wrapped around a huge bucket of water, you wouldn't be able to give anything other than that bucket or grab anything else that came your way. You might even struggle breathing because you're clutching something so all-encompassing with so much effort. You have to give to receive. Give love to get love. Share joy to feel joy. It's only possible if you are open and receptive. Number 9, recognize and replace fearful thoughts. When you are holding on to a relationship, it's usually more about attachment than love. Love wants for the other person's happiness. Fear wants to hold on to whatever appears to make you happy, so you don't have to feel the alternative. You might not recognize these types of fearful thoughts because they become habitual. Some examples include, I'll never feel loved again. I'll always feel lonely. I am completely powerless. Replace those thoughts with, all pain passes eventually. It will be easier if I help them pass by being mindful. I can't always control what happens to me, but I can control how I respond to it. Number 10, embrace impermanence. Embrace impermanence. Nothing in life lasts forever. Every experience and relationship either eventually runs its course. The best way to embrace impermanence is to translate it into action. Treat each day as a life unto itself. Appreciate the people in front of you as if it were their last day on earth. Find little things to gain in every moment instead of dwelling on what you lost. When I feel like clinging to experiences and people, I remind myself the unknown can be a curse or an adventure. It's up to me whether or not I'm strong and positive enough to see it as the latter. It took me 7 years to work through my feelings about relationships and letting go. But I'm happy to report after those 7 years, I met my incredible husband. And now we've been married for 6 years into a healthy marriage. Standing firmly on my own 2 feet, I don't regret the time when I was single, but I know now I could have hurt less and created even more possibilities for myself if I put more effort into completely letting go. I hope you'll make the right choice. Hope you'll make the same choices to let go and let God. Let me just give you a little overview of what we talked about today. We talked about acceptance. Once you accept that the relationship is done, that it's over, and that there is no going back, you gain peace because then you are free to move on. Number two, we learn to forgive. Forgive yourself and your ex-best friend, your ex-partner. No matter what your partner has done, forgiving them is a gift that you give to yourself. It doesn't mean that you agree with what they've done or did, just that you are willing to let it go so that you can move on. Number three, learn what you did wrong. Accept your part in the failed relationship, even if it was as simple as picking the wrong person. You can't go back and change the past, but you can learn from it, and you need to, so that you don't repeat it. Because we all know that if we don't get the lesson, we'll keep on making the same mistakes until we do. Number four, create a vivid new future full of possibilities, and do it with big, bright, vivid pictures, with hope and big dreams. See yourself happy. Number five, choose power instead of victimhood. Often people who have a failed relationship feel that they were a victim. Somehow, the point of power lies in releasing any feelings of being a victim, no matter what the circumstances. I pray that this has blessed you today. I pray that you feel strength to be able to move forward. I pray that you are so proud of yourself. In fact, you should just high five yourself right now, because the best is yet to come. Wisdom, understanding, I pray for it every day of my life. I encourage you, stop looking back. In that little, there's even a car can tell you, that little rearview mirror is so small because it's only supposed to give you guidelines to not hit something when you're backing up. But that windshield is so large because you need to only concentrate on moving forward. I love you so much. I'm so proud of you. I can't wait for your future, honey. You are all that in a bag of chips. You are one of God's favorites and mine. Listen, stay connected. Go to realtalkkim.com. Subscribe to my podcast so that every time I put one up, you can take me in your pocket and listen to it. I love you. I am Real Talk Kim, over and out.